This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Hour number two of the Blitz starts now. AM 1340, FM 105.7. Head on over to fanrunradio.com. Plenty of articles there for you to check out. And also at the top of the page right there in the middle, click on the live stream if you want to listen live there. You can always find our smiling faces on our Periscope streams, Facebook Live, Twitter Live. Hey, and if you got an app, if you like apps, we do have an app, Fan Run Radio app in your app stores. Hour number one, success. Hour number two starts now. When we left hour number one, said we had some breaking news for you. Well, that news is, while fans may be up in arms over not being able to purchase tickets today for the baseball super region, well, Tennessee has something on deck for you. That's right. Danny White and the athletic department announced this morning the My All campaign. That's right. The Vols announced an ambitious fundraising project, the My All campaign, which is termed a comprehensive fundraising initiative to ensure Tennessee's ability to provide a transformational student-athlete experience for current and future Vols and Lady Vols. We've been talking about money and getting money over there for Lindsey Nelson Stadium, talking about even Neyland Stadium renovations. Well, the campaign's goal, according to Danny White and the athletic department, is $500 million, and it seems that though nearly half of it is already committed. According to Tennessee, about $70 million of the $200 million currently committed toward the project is earmarked for improvements to Neyland Stadium and the Anderson Training Center, with a contingent of donors pledging those funds over the past 3 years of Tennessee Long is intended to give its football facilities a facelift. This comes from Goes Vols 24/7. Among the potential projects mentioned in Tennessee's release, quote, the best path forward for improvements to, lo and behold, the baseball facilities and the development of an indoor track and field facility endeavors, which White and his team currently are studying. We saw what Danny White went down to South Carolina and took a look at their stadium in recent weeks. Might remember?
No, I don't have that.
I think it was Boyd. I think it might have been Boyd who went down there because trying to get an eye of where they want Tennessee's stadium to be. Danny White had this to say: everyone who loves the University of Tennessee and this athletics program wants Tennessee to be the best. That aligns perfectly with my vision. It's why I'm here. Together, we're going to set a new bar for relentlessly pursuing that goal. But we need everyone to be, you guessed it, all in. We have to be aggressive, and we have to be bold. Tennessee Athletics has a unique history of innovation and progressive first. Quote, we need to get back to that, back to setting the standard and leading the way. The My All campaign coincides with White's creation of the Shareholder Society, which is reserved for giving that arrives above and beyond donations tied to tickets and parking for Tennessee sporting events. The campaign also will be tied to Tennessee's planned Neyland Stadium centennial celebration this fall through the first 100 promotions in the coming months, according to the Tennessee release. The My All campaign isn't exclusively for those donors in the Shareholder Society and encourages, quote, anyone with a passion for Tennessee athletics to contribute. White plans to connect with Tennessee fans in unique and creative ways for their input on improving the game day fan experiences and potential added amenities for fans for multiple sports through the main goal of the My All campaign. It also aims to impact all 20 programs by providing championship resources. On the surface, with what you guys, with everything that's going on today, what are you guys' thoughts on this My All campaign? Before you get to that, though, this is what I thought was his last statement. I recognize the frustrations our fan base has experienced over the past several years. We are always going to remember that one right there. His tenure, to me, be tied to, I recognize the frustrations our fan base has experienced over the past several years. So that entails me that we're the experience, the frustrations, you know, he's trying to get rid of those, and it's going to be a better experience for fans over the next couple of years. So we're going to always keep that in the back of the tank, Danny White, and hold you to that. I am committed to restoring confidence, outlining a vision, and bringing everyone together to focus on the amazingly bright future that lies ahead. It starts today. Do your part. Join my all. GP3, Charlie, thoughts with the whole ticket debacle. It's kind of like, hey, let's throw this in here. Let's try to make people happy. In my opinion, that's how I took it. I mean, I do know that obviously we need a new baseball stadium or improvements to it, adding more seats. Neyland Stadium also needs some renovations as well. But it just seems like kind of tone deaf.
I mean, I don't think the two are connected. I think the timing is coincidentally poor.
I'm not. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying they're connected. I'm saying they're tone deaf. But like, I'm gonna throw this out there and make you feel good. Like it's bad timing on with everything that's going on. Like it just seems like you don't really care. But then you're like, hey, but we're doing this though. Look at us. I mean, just me.
This isn't a bad thing.
No.
We're raising money to improve our athletic program. I mean, programs. That's a good thing. That's part of why we brought Danny White here, and he has done a lot of good things.
Well, hell, that's why we brought John Curry here, too, because he was a builder, and he was a fundraising guy.
So, I don't know. Maybe I'm taking this, like, differently than you guys are. The way I see it is we just had, I don't know, thousands of what they would call the common fan try to get tickets to a baseball game. And sorry, we're not actually selling to you. That's the way it came across.
But can we get some money?
But yeah, can you go ahead and give us some money anyway?
Yeah.
That's the way I'm taking it. It's a slap in the face, in my opinion. Like, well, maybe because of the timing, it feels like a slap in the face.
Yeah, and maybe Charlie's right. Maybe it's just some poor coincidental timing, and it was going to be released this morning nonetheless. But I think a lot of fans are going to take it the way you're taking a GP3. That's kind of where I was. You said it better. That's kind of where I was getting to, too. But, like, yeah, like, hey, we know you didn't get tickets, and you know you really wanted them bad. You know they're a common man, and we gave them to the donors, season ticket holders. But hey, can we have some money though? Can you give us some money to improve that stadium that you really can't get into for big events, for the biggest games of the Tennessee baseball program in the last 20 years?
I mean, bigger than that.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the first time we've ever hosted.
Yeah,
a Super
first time.
Regional.
Yeah, ever hosted a Super Regional.
Yeah, it's just. I don't know. To me, it feels like a slap in the face to the average fan.
I would agree. I would definitely agree.
I mean, I get why it feels that way, but, you know, the frustrations from the baseball, I feel like, shouldn't take away from, I mean, the positive here. And obviously, you're going to try to get money from everybody because, you know, you need money to do this. And
but how many of the common fans and not the big money donors are going to be lined up today? The same fans that likely maybe they do give a couple thousand each year, and they were really set on trying to get some tickets for this baseball game, this region series over the weekend. How many of them are really going to be, you know, willingly to throw some money down when they see that, you know, they really don't matter at certain points?
And then you also talk about renovating Neyland. Okay, ticket prices have increased every year for, what, the past decade? And mm-hmm. the product on the field has continually deteriorated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know, it just seems like they keep wanting our money, but we're not getting any return on our investment.
That's a good way to put it. It's a great way to put it.
I mean, I don't know. The money's got to come from somewhere. Might as well ask. You might not get that much, but from the common folk, but it's just part of the deal. And with this renovation, I mean, if it's going towards helping rebuild Neyland or Lindsey Nelson Stadium, then you probably won't have these same issues again next time around. I don't know. I mean, there's been a lot of fair criticism for Danny White. Obviously, he's put his foot in his mouth a lot of times, and he's kind of, you know, stumbled over some things. It's frustrated the fan base, but I don't feel like this is one of them. This is a good thing. We've been begging them to upgrade Lindsey Nelson. Now they're doing it, and we're mad because we couldn't get tickets this morning. I mean, it sucks, but, you know, I don't think those things are related in terms of frustration.
Maybe not. You're right. I mean, like, yes, you can say this is a good thing that they're trying to line up money to renovate the facilities around town.
And we're mad because, you know, they don't seem to care about the common folk as much as the people that give them money. And as common folk ourselves, yeah, I mean, that is frustrating. But, you know, to play devil's advocate, I guess if you do look at it from their side of things, we do matter less because we're not donating a ton of money.
That's the problem, though. That's the problem.
Well, that's not unique to Tennessee, though. That's everywhere. The people that give you the most money, you're going to take care of the best because you want them to continue to give you a lot of money. It's a simple equation. And hopefully, you know, these upgrades help them then be able to take care of the common fan better next time around.
I'm with GP3. I think that it's going to be really tough to garner a lot of donations outside from your big money donors whenever you're right. Ticket prices continue to go up. The cost of going to a game day experience for a family of four, family three, like, it continues to go up, and you're not seeing a better product on the field. Like, they're going to have to win. Yes, we know that. But it's the ineptitude with the state of the football program over the last, what are we looking at, 10 years now?
At least
10 years, where the fans keep buying. And the one thing you might say, yeah, the other people matter the most because they have more money. The fans keep coming too. And there is going to come a time when they're slowly going to dwindle out because, you know, you're not seeing anything that's happening better. They're not bringing in better coaches. I hope Josh Heupel was able to turn around.
Trying.
I hope Josh Heupel's able to turn around.
Yeah, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
But if this experiment fails, once again, where are we at that point?
I don't know. I mean, I just feel like we can't get frustrated with the new regime because things didn't work out with the old regime. Like, it's not his fault. And it's not like and
it wasn't Jeremy Pruitt's fault that Butch Jones.
How many times do we have to say that?
That's what I'm saying. And it wasn't Butch Jones' fault that Derek Dooley didn't work out. It wasn't Derek Dooley's fault that Lane Kiffin didn't work out. But it's the fault of the athletic program of being stupid. Get it right.
But, like, we keep changing who is running the athletic department and who's coaching the football team. And it keeps not working. But it doesn't mean that they're related to each other. And it doesn't mean that we should just constantly be frustrated and angry with the new people, because that just makes their job harder. And
the only thing that
they're trying to do their job, they were hired to change things. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. And if we keep getting mad at every little thing, it only makes it harder.
It doesn't happen overnight, but we're generally giving these people 2 to 5 years. Like,
what's frustrating is when you see LSU fire their coach and then go out and hire Ed Orgeron, and then they win a national championship 2 years later. Arkansas goes out and hires Sam Pittman, a guy that Butch Jones didn't want on his staff, and he goes there and turns Arkansas around in 1 year. Other schools are getting it right on their first or second try, and we're on 15-plus years
Texas
of this
A&M
crap.
Texas A&M pulled out the bank and showed Jimbo the Brinks truck, and they're starting to see some return on their investment. I get what you're saying, Charlie. Like,
but
each situation is not connected.
It's not like we're on purpose. Like, oh,
football is
we hate our fans. Let's go hire a bad coach and piss them off. Like, that's not what we're doing. We're trying.
But
just
we're saying
failing.
They're stupid. They're,
but we're trying
they're
again.
They don't have a pulse of what they really need to do.
What do you mean they don't have a pulse? They're rebuilding the stadium. And
I don't give a damn about the rebuilding the stadium if we can't go out and win football games. And we don't – I'm Josh Heupel. We're going
to
give him the benefit of the doubt.
You have to give people a
chance. This isn't a slight
on
Heupel.
We got new
people. Should have never hired Jeremy Pruitt. You should have never
– people were happy when we hired Jeremy Pruitt the first time.
Well, we were happy because it wasn't Greg Schiano. I think that's where a lot of the joy came from when we hired Pruitt.
I would agree.
It wasn't because we hired Pruitt.
It's easy to say all this in hindsight, but, like, – it's not like they're intentionally failing. They've just failed. But that doesn't mean that we should just, you know, assume that they're just going to continuously fail. Eventually, they'll get it right.
I wish I could have your optimism.
I mean, unfortunately,
I wish
like
I could too.
Like, well, I mean, there's no. We're angry.
Eventually,
we're
they'll
angry
get it right.
At a guy
we've
three
been
months
saying
on the
that.
Job.
We've been saying
why are
that
we angry
doing?
At a guy 3 months
I'm
on the job?
I'm not angry at him at all. I've said this 3 times in this conversation. We're going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm talking about how we've gotten here. I'm talking about the years that have led up to this. I'm talking about.
But
how
that wasn't Danny White.
Even this time around, you could have went out and maybe paid a little bit more money and got a bigger coach. Maybe not because the NCAA
Who
sanctions.
Was coming here?
Maybe not
we
because
tried.
NCAA sanctions.
We
but
tried.
You can't tell me that Fulmer and AD and even Donnie Plowman, like, you can look back and be like, oh, they did a good job. Or she wasn't here when he got hired. But Fulmer, you did a good job hiring Jeremy Pruitt after we saw his movies.
Hey, he didn't do a good job, and guess what? He's not our AD anymore, and Jeremy Pruitt's not our coach because they didn't do a good job. That's the whole point. Now we have new people. We got to let them do their job without flipping out on them because they said one little thing you didn't like in a press conference.
We'll see. I don't think it's not one little thing. It's the pile up. It's the continual build up.
It's like no matter what anyone in our athletic department does or no matter what our football coach does, our fan base has gotten to the point where they find a way to be pissed off about it. This is a good thing. We're improving our facilities, and also included in this is rebuilding the baseball stadium, which we've been begging for months, and now we're somehow finding a way to be frustrated and mad at this? It's ridiculous. We've done plenty to be mad about. I agree with that, but it doesn't mean that everything is bad all the
time.
It's
poor timing. It's tone deaf.
Because it's gone bad in the past, that doesn't mean that it has to continue to be bad. Like let's give people a chance. Let's not get mad at every little thing.
So
it's mutually exclusive.
So say this doesn't works out. Where are you at on if we're 2 years down the road, the Josh Heupel experiment is also bad. Well, I guess they got it wrong again. They'll get it right the next time. You're going to have that much optimism?
I'm not going to be like, oh, they're going to get it right, but they might get it right. I mean, what else are you supposed to do but try?
They need to try harder. Right. They need to try harder, Charlie. They need to try harder.
What do you mean try harder? Like, what do you want to...
865-546-8200. Take a quick timeout. Me and Charlie need a break. This is Blitz, Fan Run Radio. Welcome back to the Blitz, live here on Fan Run Radio. Feel a little bit better now. I had to go get my jewel. I had to calm down. Charlie got my blood boiling. He got me hot. He got me hot on a Wednesday morning. My guy Charlie. Love him to death, though. Davy Crockett's burner account. He's up there with Chuck. Maybe this is Chuck's burner account. I don't know. He says, that chance. Don't know how much harder you can try than the fourth best AD in the country and a national championship coach.
He gets it. That guy gets it.
Oh, come on. Give me a break.
Give me this UCF national championship.
He's at least right about the AD. Like,
we'll give him 50% credit.
We went and hired one of the best ADs in the country. And 3 months into the job, we're not even giving the guy a chance because we don't like that he told
us
to be less negative.
That's what we do.
I mean, are we so negative that we don't even like when our AD tells us not to be negative?
We
like,
gravitate to his words. We hold on to everything.
He's trying to do his job. Let him do
Fans,
his job. His
fanatic,
job is to grow
fanatic.
And promote the athletic department.
Fanatic. There's no rhyme or reason to some of this
Didn't
stuff.
Didn't the university just get like $35 million? From COVID relief or something like that.
Yeah, it was a little stimmy from the SEC.
Yeah, a little stimmy.
I think they get less later on, but they got more money up front, so it's not like they got extra money. And I think it covers some of the losses, too, that they experienced.
We'll see. I'm probably not going to be as optimistic as Charlie.
We're upgrading Lindsey Nelson. It's confirmed now. That should be the headline, not... We're mad at Danny White, but the headline is upgrading Lindsey Nelson.
We're mad at
awesome.
Danny White.
This
we're
is awesome.
We're mad at Danny White.
He is doing a great
job. Text your buddy, Danny.
I don't think anybody's mad that they're upgrading Lindsey Nelson. I think everybody's happy about that. It's that they're saying we're only going to do it if you donate.
Well, how else are they going to do it?
They're the athletic department. How much money do they bring in every year?
Football's not bringing in enough probably right now. I mean, I would still say it's probably supporting most of the athletic programs over there, but not near as much as it has in years past. But, hey, we digress. Hey, let's go ahead and get over to the association and tell you that this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. NBA playoffs are here. Thank goodness, because Tennessee's making my blood boil. And you'll be in hoops heaven betting all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook. There are so many exciting matchups, and FanDuel is taking that excitement to another level. Because new and existing users can bet risk-free. We've been telling you about it, risk-free throughout the playoffs. New users can get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. Plus, once you have an account, you can bet one same-game parlay risk-free every week. That means you can combine multiple bets for an even bigger win. I like the same-game parlay bets. So does GP3. Hey, anybody can win. He was one leg last night from winning a $10,000 same-game parlay. So, he got close, but hey, he'll try it again. So many NBA market options, player point total, rebounds, assists, etc. Money line, the over-under point spread, even first basket score, I'm telling you, that pays double. You can bet up 10-plus points, 15-plus, 20-plus, 30-plus, etc. Player three-pointers, I love that. So you can make 1-plus threes, 2-plus on the night. Player blocks, And if you don't win, you'll get up to $10 back. Basketball fans, now is the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot. Just sign up with promo code BLITZ to bet the NBA playoffs risk-free. That's right, promo code BLITZ, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You must be 21 or older and present in the state of Tennessee. Risk-free bets for first online real money wager only, and refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Same game parlay refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund of $10. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Hey, great games in the association last night, fellas. Really great games last night on the hardwood. Started off with a pretty damn good matchup between the 76ers and Ice Trey and the Hawks. Sixers came out tough, man. They were on them in this one. They were up most of the first half pretty big. It seemed like they might run away with this game. But in the end, the Hawks made it a damn good game there towards the finish. But it seems like the Sixers found a little something in the tank when it got down to the fourth quarter and started to pull away after finishing the game with a 16-point victory. Trae Young, who's been averaging 30 points a game, 9 assists in this NBA playoffs, he had 21 and 11 last night, but a little bit more cold from behind the arc. He was 1 of 7 from 3. Bojan Bogdanovic only had 14 last night. He was 2 of 6. You got 20 from Danilo Gallinari. He had a hot game for the Hawks. He was their leading scorer, 5 of 9 from 3. And then Clint Capela added 10. And John Collins, he did not reach double digits in this game. He had more of a quiet outing with only 8 points, and but he did have 10 boards, so he definitely contributed on the glass. But it was the 76ers. You got your Joel Embiid game. He had something to prove last night. He went 2 of 5 from behind 3, 12 of 16 from the free throw line, 12 rebounds, and 40 points. Embiid really went off. Seth Curry had 21. He's continued to have a pretty remarkable NBA playoff showing. He was 5 of 6 from 3. 22 from Tobias Harris, former Vol, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. He had another good night. The only person really didn't have a great night in their starting lineup was Ben Simmons. 4 points and 7 assists with only 3 rebounds for him. What did you guys think about last night's game, Hawks and 76ers? I thought that first game, I said, it looks like Doc might have figured out some way to counter Trae Young and put a little stop to him. He didn't get his buckets like he normally does. He was a little bit slow, but the 76ers found a way, even though it got closer in the second half, to pull away. What did you guys' takeaways?
My first thought was you nailed it with the Trae Young thing yesterday. Saying
focus on him.
Yeah. So that was my first thought.
They're more physical with him. It seemed like they were trying to throw more assignments at him, throw multiple people at him at different times. And really, I mean, you got to stop him. He is the catalyst that gets them going. He's their X factor every given night. I mean, if he's getting 30 on you, they're probably going to win.
For a while there, we got Kevin Herter duking it out with Seth Curry.
Right?
Who would have thought that would have
been the Kevin Herter game?
I mean, we were close to getting the Seth Curry Kevin Herter game. They both kind of cooled off.
Yeah, Kevin Herter also had 20. He was 3 of 5 from 3.
Go Terps.
Go Terps. I just thought, man, Joel Embiid finally showing up, MVP candidate. He was third in the voting. Or no, I think it was third.
I thought he was second.
Was he second? He was second in the voting right behind Nikola Jokic, who did win the NBA MVP.
I said yesterday, I had like, 124 to 106. We got 118, 102.
Yeah. Very close game. Good job by Charlie. Big brain on Charlie. But, yeah, I thought it was a very good game, though. It was something to see Embiid taking over. He had 24 in the second half, 26 in the first half. He really, you know, displayed his dominance early. The only thing I would say to take away from this game, Ben Simmons got to do more. If they want to win this series, Ben Simmons has to do more. He has to be more aggressive. He only shot 3 shots last night. I'm seeing right here. There's only my second half stats. Yeah, he was 2 of 3 from the field. He really was not aggressive at all. And, yes, I mean, I'm sure that at that point, seeing Joel Embiid cook like he was, Tobias, Seth Curry, he was, you know, delegating to his teammates. But at the same time, if they want to be able to make it to an NBA Finals, let alone the Eastern Conference Finals, and have a shot against the Nets, if they make it, Ben Simmons has to do more for this club. He is the – he's a part of their big three, and he's got to do more. But it's looking like Seth Curry's having a much better shooting performance than he has ever dreamed of in the NBA playoffs. But, yeah, Ben Simmons, you got to do more if you got if the 76ers want to take this series. And then in our nightcap, we had the Clippers and the Jazz. And this was a good-ass game. I don't know if you guys watched this entire game because it ended late around 12:45-1. But it was a damn good ball game. You had the Clippers who owned – the first half, owned them in the first half. And then in the second half, third quarter, it was, and the rest of the second half, it was the Donovan Mitchell show. Spider. He really went to town. In the first half, Donovan Mitchell, 13 points. He would add another 32 points in the second half to end up with 45 on the night. Kawhi Leonard, he finishes with 23. Paul George, 20. He had a slow game. He had some big threes late in the fourth quarter, but not enough to get the Clippers back in it. Zubac, 11. Reggie Jackson had 9, but he fouled out early in the fourth. Luke Kennard, he had 18 points, but the takeaway there, he was 4-6 from 3. He couldn't guard anyone. They continued to switch on Kennard, and every time they'd switch on the pick and roll, Donovan Mitchell, heavy pick and roll in the second half, they kept going to it. He was putting Luke Kennard in the spin cycle. He was even putting Kawhi Leonard in the spin cycle. Bojan Bogdanovic for the Jazz had 18. 45 from Mitchell, 18 from Clarkson. Rudy Gobert with 10 and 12, and a huge block there at the end on Marcus Morris Sr. to seal the deal when they were trying to tie this ball game up in the final seconds of the game. Mike Conley did not play. He was out with an injury. But what I took away from this game was, one, maybe it's time that we give Donovan Mitchell his flowers. I feel like he's always been an underrated player for the last couple seasons as he has emerged. He emerged in the bubble last season, him and Jamal Murray going back and forth. They had a nice matchup. And he's been good. He's good the year prior to that. He's been damn good in these playoffs. But he never gets enough credit, and I would say even I never give him enough credit. He's not an exciting player. He's not somebody that, I don't know, he doesn't have a lot of star power, but it might be time that we give Spider Mitchell his flowers. He had a hell of a game.
I would say that he is really exciting and does have star
power. I'm saying
power.
Just me, personally, I guess I've never thought of him like that. I don't feel like he gets a lot of that credit.
I don't know.
It might be because he's with the Jazz.
I feel like he kind of does. I don't know. I mean.
Maybe so.
I want to brag again, though, because. Again, almost spot on. I had 114, 111, and I said Spida's dropping 50. We dropped 45, and it was 112, 109. Pretty close.
Yeah.
Shout out to me.
Also, then we have to another thing to take away from this game. Kawhi Leonard at one time was perceived to be the best two-way player in all of the NBA. His defense, I don't think we can call him the Claw anymore. I saw him get ate up by Mitchell a lot on that pick and roll. He doesn't seem like he has the fastest step anymore when it comes to his defense, his lateral quickness. I don't know what's going on there. He's got to dig deep and really go into his bag to play like the Kawhi we saw with the Raptors, with the Spurs. He's got to get back to being that dominant force on defense. Even Paul George, he's a great defender, but he has struggled recently as well too. And then lastly, I'd say my third takeaway from the game that I thought driving in this morning, I was thinking about this. If Donovan Mitchell has to score 45 for the Jazz every game, they won't go far. They won't win the series, I don't believe, either, simply because his role players have got to help out. Rudy Gobert, only 10 points.
I mean, I feel like
– Mike Conley being out.
I think it evens out because normally he gets a lot more from his team. Last night he –
No, that's what I'm saying.
Last night, you know, it was uncharacteristically low output from his supporting cast.
Yeah.
And he stepped his game
and it's
up.
Game one, and he had to step up as a leader.
I don't think he needs 45 a game to be able to win in this series.
I don't think he does either.
Because, I mean, I feel like next game you can expect, you know, law averages tell you that, hey, maybe you'll get even an above-average game from your supporting cast.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to need more. I mean, Clarkson and Bogdanovic, they definitely did their parts, but
– Rudy Gobert, man.
Rudy Gobert.
He is a lucky man that he blocked that final shot or he would be getting a lot more criticism today.
Yeah.
I think he's a little overrated, honestly.
A little bit.
People talk about him as the best defender in the NBA and a budding superstar. I don't know. He blocks small people shots.
Yeah.
And when you put him in the pick and roll and with this, where he has to worry, you know, about the center, he's not good. I mean, like, Ja averaged like 30 a game on him. Murray tore him up with that pick and roll. When you put him in the pick and roll, you know, he's
agreed
not that great. And he disappears for large moments of in the game, it feels like. Last mm-hmm. night, I mean, there was like a quarter and a half where I was like, where on earth is Rudy Gobert?
I agree with you, Charlie. I think he's got to do more.
10-12 isn't enough.
No, not in the playoffs.
Not, I mean, not a one seed that really wants to win a title this year. You can't just have 10-12 from Rudy Gobert. You need more.
No, you definitely need more from him. He had two blocks, and the key block, like we said, there at the end on Marcus Morris Sr., but like what you're saying, he's blocking guys that are, you know, 6'5", 6'6", a lot smaller than he is at 7'1". But the Jazz roll on. That's what it's about, survive and advance. They take a 1-0 series lead. I expect the next game to be much tighter, maybe a bigger Kawhi Leonard showing. But as we just alluded to, I don't think Donovan Mitchell has to score 45, but if he is scoring 45 per game or needing to, I don't think they go far. They might get past the Clippers, but they ain't getting past Denver or Phoenix in the next round because he needs a lot more from his supporting cast. 865-546-80 turns. Going to take a quick timeout. Come back. Talk a little bit more about this Vols situation and maybe even preview the regional this weekend. It caught on in a flash. He did the mash. He did the monster mash. From my... When the sun goes down on my side. Welcome back to the Blitz Fan Run Radio. We're going to get to a little MLB talk here in just a second. But, guys, picture this. We were talking so much about the tickets debacle over there with the Super Regional in Knoxville this weekend, how fans weren't able to get tickets. What about – we talked about this. We just set up outside, and it'd be like Jurassic Park. Remember when the Raptors?
I like this. I haven't seen Jurassic Park.
No. Well, you don't have to see it. That's just what they call it.
Oh, you're talking about with the Raptors. Yes. Oh, yeah.
That's what they call it.
Or like the Preds with the Stanley
Cup. With the Stanley Cup. Yeah. What about we do that?
I mean, I think make that work. Let's pressure the athletic department into putting a giant TV out there and just filling that street up.
Yeah.
I think we could do it.
A giant TV, block it off with like little railings, dividers, and set it up like a huge block party for fans who weren't able to get tickets. It'll be like a live feed in before the game. They'll show all the fans out there. Like I said, you put a big screen out there for us all to watch the game. And then they'll just constantly be going back and forth to it on ESPN too. And just make it an entire experience for the entire weekend. Like you said, just like the Preds. I remember when the Preds did that when they were in the Stanley Cup Finals, right?
Yeah, I mean, the Preds.
People were lining up, and they were just sitting out there watching the game. And it just became an entire experience. What if we talked about that in hour one? Like, we'll just have a big block party. What if they do something like that?
I don't know. Can you get it done in time?
Yeah. All right, so back in the day, there used to be something called, it was Sundown in the City in Market Square every Thursday. There was live music, beer trailers everywhere, and you go around to the different establishments in Market City and drink beer and then have live music, and it was free to go. And they just, you know, put those metal railings up around and create an area. You could do something like that around the stadium, I feel like. I think that'd be nice.
I think it's awesome. Like, I think it's a great idea. I've seen a lot of momentum on Twitter trying to push it. I think, you know, the biggest problem would just be bathrooms. It's a dry campus technically. Like, there's no food and alcohol sales. You just have to bring in porta potties, and you'd have to bring in like vendors.
You bring in vendors, and you can do it like they do in Circle Park. Like, they have those tailgating parties in Circle Park before the football games, and it's like different tents, and each the one big tent where they have, and they'll bring like, I don't know, it's different beer vendors, and when you go in, you pay a donation. It's like $20-$25. You get food, you get beer. But it all goes to a charity, and we could do the same thing and think about that.
Yeah, I mean,
Danny White, you have the vendors. Like, I mean, if you're doing it on campus at Circle Park and everywhere else, like, it's a sporting event, you do it the same way, and then we'll give all the money back to charity.
Yeah, I mean, I think like with Toronto or with the Preds, you know, their stadiums are right in the middle of their city. Mm-hmm. So that definitely helped. Yeah, I think it would take a lot of planning. I don't know if you can get it done in 4 days or not, but I think it would be really cool. Or, you know, you could...
That would be amazing, though.
I mean, you could at least encourage fans to just bring lawn chairs and a cooler, and,
yeah,
you know, we'll figure it out that way. We need the TV, though. Like, we need to be able to watch the game.
Oh, absolutely.
You could really create something cool. You know, another problem I'm thinking of, that parking garage.
Yeah.
Where the free parking is for the game. Okay. Would that get blocked off? I don't know. But...
I would love to see it, though.
Man,
I think
I wish we could have started.
When there's a will,
this, like,
there's a way.
Like Monday.
When there's a will, there's a way. Though
we need people to start pushing it that have the most influence. Tell Houston, tell John.
Yeah.
You know, I saw Jason Swain tweeting about it. I don't know. Let's get it done. Let's make it just.
Why not?
A giant party.
Why not? I think we absolutely should do it. All right, 865-546-8200. We were going to try to get to MLB, but we ran out of time talking about our big plans for the block party.
We'll get it tomorrow.
Let's push a block party. We'll get to MLB standings and how we're looking through a third of the season. Hey, quick timeout. Talk Sports Boys. They're here. They're fired up. They got you covered for the next 3 hours when we get off. We're going to come back, finish up hour number one right here.
Fishtails.
All right, boys and girls, go ahead and finish up the show here, hour number two. But you know what that means? It means we got the one, the only, Weston the Fish Brown. Weston, what's up, Fish?
Glove, glove.
Hey, glove, glove in the tub, Fish.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, good, man. How are you?
Doing good. What's the new intern's name? I don't think I caught it earlier.
That is GP3.
He's our producer.
He's not an intern.
Yeah,
put some
producer.
Respect on his name.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess I was technically a producer too, and I got called an intern for 6 months.
Well, he was on the drive, and then when Brandon left the show, and then, you know, Rick moved to the drive, we stole GP3, and so he's done his time. He did his time with the old guys.
We traded Rick for GP3.
We sent Rick to the nursing home, and we brought GP3 to the club.
Probably a solid trade, to be honest.
I know. We sent the tribal leader to the nursing home.
Oh,
it's a new blitz now. It's a new era.
The chief and geriatric Brandon are both.
I don't think he's too much of a chief in the afternoon anymore, though. But we got GP.
No. I think he had to step down with his Okay, so who's the new chief? Is that Charlie or is that you, Chance?
I'd say that I am a person that we lead together. There's no significant leader. We're all a team. We're a tripod. I don't need a title.
So just for that answer, Charlie is now the chief.
What's up, Fish? What you got for us?
Not much. One more thing. Impressive for GP3 to actually get my intro. I don't think Charlie ever got it. So.
No one ever sent it to me, Fish.
Actually, whenever I was out and they were looking for it that day, I almost sent it to Charlie, but I was like, Rick should have had it. He's the one who sent it to me originally, so I was like, all right, whatever. But GP3, he's on it, man. He's on it. You see it. He cannot be phased.
Good deal. You'll probably be hearing from me a lot, GP3. Glad to have you on the Blitz. So
appreciate
I called in for a quick fishtail, if you guys got a minute.
This is what we do, GP3.
We have like five of them.
He calls in, he gives us a quick fishtail. Most time they're very, very good. There's only been like once or twice where they were very, very bad. Hit us.
Yeah, they're either ones or like kind of high. There's not really a middle ground for fish. This one's probably might be a middle ground one. It's not one of my best, but it's one of those I had to tell.
Okay.
So, as you all know, me and my wife are expecting again.
Yep, expecting second child.
Yeah. So we the first time we didn't get any official maternity pictures. We just kind of got like you know, around the house. You know, big yard type of thing. And so she's like, I want some official, like, you know, well-made maternity pictures. And it's not one of those things I'm into, but it's one of those things that I know have to be done.
Absolutely. So, happy wife, happy life.
And I tried to get her to call in and tell this story as a Mrs. Fishtail for the first time, but she wouldn't do it. So I have to call in. So she's like, all right, where do you want to do it? And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, you want to get this done, you pick wherever it is. I'll pay for it. You know, it doesn't matter. So we get in touch with a family member who does like professional photography. And she said, I love sunflowers. I always love sunflowers. She's like, you know, we can all wear yellow. The kids and me wear yellow. And she'll wear black, and we'll do it in the middle of the sunflower field. And I'm like, that's cool. That's fine with me. And so I don't know if you know, there's a sunflower field in South Knoxville. It's over there by Iams.
I actually did know that, because I've got some friends who have taken like some engagement pictures and photos.
Over there. It's kind of a local hot spot for pictures. A little bit cliche, but I'm not going to argue. So this had to be, if it wasn't last week, it was the week before. And we get over there, we're driving in, and I'm like, where is this sunflower field? And we look in this giant field, and it's nothing but a patch of dirt, this entire field. And I'm like, what is going on here? Like, are we in the wrong place? Do I have to walk somewhere to find it? And I gave a quick Google search, and sunflowers bloom, I guess what you would call it, for about 3 weeks a year, and we're not even remotely close. I believe it's like August in the 3 weeks that that they bloom. So no sunflowers. We don't match now. So the only choice is to get it in the dirt. I mean, it looks like a pig pen out in the middle of this field right now. Like, it looks terrible. I mean, it's just brown. There's no grass. It's just brown dirt. And so luckily we go and take the pictures through Iams, kind of on the bike trails. My toddler, you know, kept wanting to get hit by a bike. It was kind of a disaster. I think they will turn out okay. We have not seen the results yet. But not as much my fault, but definitely a fishtail.
Oh, man. So you went to go get the pictures at the sunflower field, and you guys didn't realize they were not in bloom right now.
Yeah, I thought, you know, I'm not a flower connoisseur, but I figured sunflowers are like, you know, they come up in the spring, and, you know, they last all summer and just die in the fall. And that's how I assumed, and I guess my wife did too. But no, apparently that's like kind of the allure and attraction of them, is kind of the rarity.
So when do they actually bloom?
It's like, it depends on where, but usually like July and August is when they do it, and the baby will be, it will be here by then. Yeah,
isn't the baby supposed to be here by July?
Yeah, few weeks. Yeah, we're 2 or 3 weeks out.
Hey, that's a funny Mrs. Fishtail, but I swear I think it's still your fault though. But hey, appreciate the call, Fish. We got to get out of here, get ready for Talk Sports. Thank you, buddy.
See you guys.
Hey. Bye, Fish.
Bye, Fish. Hey, great show today. Talk Sports is in the building.
Saw a new idea.
What's that?
Watch party in Neyland. Put it on the big screen.
Even better. Even better. But I would like the fans to be closer to the stadium, to be loud, and to be able to hear them as well.
Me too.
So that's why I said around the stadium. But, hey, hopefully they get it right. Hey, good work from you, GP3, back behind the booth. Thank you, Charlie, for all that you do. Today's National Calendar Days, as we get out of here real quick, National Donald Duck Day, National Earl Day, and National Strawberry.
Never make that noise National again as long as you live.
National
please.
Strawberry Rhubarb Pie Day. Hey, Talk Sports is up next. Keep it locked in. I'm Chance Collins for Fan Run Radio all day long.